This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. He was a celebrated cavalry officer, nationally known and deeply respected by the soldiers who served under him, and rival of Confederate raider John Hunt Morgan. Yet today, only a few scholars know the story of Union Colonel Frank Wolford, commander of the 1st Kentucky Cavalry, a man who nearly changed the face of the country because of a policy dispute with President Abraham Lincoln. Ron Blair, Wolford's great-great-nephew, details his story in the new book, Wild Wolf, The Great Civil War Rivalry. And Ron joins us this afternoon to discuss Colonel Frank Wolford's life and career. You can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Ron, thank you for being here this afternoon.
Mark, thanks so much. It's an excellent opportunity to be at WVXU, which I spent some time back in the old college days, the little jazz show, but did a lot of different things. But I didn't anticipate spending 16 years of research on a book unless I knew that I was onto something.
Wow. Other than the fact that he was a relative, what got you started on writing about Colonel Wolford?
Well, I heard stories about him when I was a child because my middle name is Wolford. My formal name is on the book, Ronald Wolford Blair. And I heard stories from my father and my uncle, who was a family historian. And so I wanted to know who this guy was. And at first, there was one book entitled The Wild Riders of the 1st Kentucky Cavalry. And I read that when I was about 12 years old in my grandparents' house under a tin roof in southern Kentucky. And all of a sudden, I had these images of this royal blue 1st Kentucky flag crossing the river, splashing the water and swords, you know, all the chivalry of it all. But what I found out was something startling. I found out I just opened up a Pandora's box. This story should have been written a long time ago, and I can't believe it took 150 years, but it took a lot of prying. What I found out, it was this man was such an orator, wounded 7 times, 8 horses shot from under him.
He fought in what, 300 battles?
300 battles and skirmishes, and every battle, nearly every battle in Kentucky and East Tennessee are outlined here. The only battle in Ohio where the Great Chase, his military rival was John Hunt Morgan, and the Great Chase through Kentucky and into Ohio. The only battle in Ohio. It's a pretty fascinating story because he was wounded the whole time. Hard to squeeze it all in because it's the equivalent of 700 pages. But then there was the political aspect of Wolford. And he was a politician, highly regarded lawyer.
You said he was a great orator, too.
An incredible orator. He was presented a sword at Malonian Hall, March 10th, 1864, a very crazy political presidential year. And he took that opportunity. They were expecting him, you know, because for his role in capturing John Hunt Morgan, they presented this sword, the governor did, in the Malonian Hall, which is still downtown Lexington. And they thought there was going to be a patriotic speech. Instead, he took the opportunity to lambast the Lincoln administration and the department head of Kentucky, who was really corrupt. His name was, they called him Butcher Burbridge, Stephen Burbridge, general. Very corrupt. And so their civil liberties were taken away from them more than any other time in American history. And so it wasn't a black and white situation. It was also all those other issues that you may find today. But I think what really bothered them more than anything was the states' rights issue. They thought it was their prerogative to take their slaves. They didn't want to give up their slaves. And it was very intimidating for them to take their slaves, keep them in Kentucky, and give them uniforms and bayonets.
And Colonel Wolford agrees with this, and he speaks out at this particular ceremony.
They were all afraid to speak. He wasn't afraid to speak, and they were afraid they were going to get arrested or have their property taken away from them. Those things happened. There was an order number 54 that Lincoln signed, actually, that if a Union citizen was deprived of their property were violated in some way, they would take four Confederate prisoners, innocent soldiers, some of them young, take them out in the field and execute them.
So what was the situation in Kentucky? I mean, Kentucky was kind of in a tough spot. Here you are, you're a border state. You're between the North and the South. Are you Union? Are you Confederate? Wasn't that the quandary they were going through in the state at the time?
I'm so glad you brought that up. I'm going to read the very first chapter. On September 22nd, 1861, President Abraham Lincoln wrote, "I think to lose Kentucky is nearly the same as to lose the whole game. Kentucky gone, we cannot hold Missouri, nor, I think, Maryland. This all against us and the job on our hands, it's too large for us. We would as well consent to separation at once, including the surrender of this capital." And he also said, "I'd like to have God on my side, but I must have Kentucky." He knew how important
Kentucky was.
And after Wolford gave that speech at the Millennium Hall, a couple days later, Governor Bramlett, he was influenced by that. He was there. He wrote a proclamation, and it was a proclamation of war against the federal government on all of those issues. And
so with this one speech he gives, these comments, he could very well have pushed Kentucky into war with the federal government. Is that where this could have gone?
It came very close. As a matter of fact, he recruited 10,000 soldiers not long after that for the state. And, he, you know, because he was such a great orator, you know, they would follow him to wherever, you know, he wanted them to go. Real scary, though. Because if that proclamation had been issued, I'm satisfied there would have been more bloodshed in Kentucky. I'm satisfied Sherman would have been delayed in his march to Atlanta. And he didn't really capture Atlanta until September of that year. And I really believe, and Abraham Lincoln believed with me, that Lincoln would not have been elected without those wins.
So Why did Colonel Wolford, why did he fight for the Union if he felt this way?
Yeah, good question. It started out as a fight to preserve the Union. And that's why it took so long to write this book, because they're the longest running Union cavalry in the whole war out of Kentucky. But even President Lincoln, during the first inauguration, promised he would not touch the slave element. It changed through what Lincoln called the friction of war, the mere friction of war. He tried to work with the compensation with the delegates of all the border states, and they refused. And as he said, well, you're going to lose them either through compensation or you're going to lose them through the mere friction of war. And that's what happened.
Was this attitude common among a lot of the Union leadership?
After the Emancipation Proclamation, there was a meeting of a lot of Union commanders, and they were ready to resign their posts. And Wolford showed up and talked them out of it. So many did resign. Yeah, so it was a common thought. You know, a lot of things, I was very non-biased in this research, because when you talk about the Civil War, it's still going on today, even amongst Republicans and Democrats today. You think differently when you think of the Civil War. I mean, what happened in this presidential election year? Wolford was an opponent, got arrested by a direct order of Lincoln, taken to Washington.
He got arrested more than one time, didn't he? It was
four times.
Yeah.
Four times. And for Lincoln to take that risk to arrest an elector for his opponent, McClellan, is unbelievable. And I found a letter that's in here that was found just recent regarding Wolford. It was the last July 4th letter regarding Wolford that Lincoln wrote his last Independence Day before he was killed. And it's so telling what he did, how he handled the political dissent. He was a very bright man. But what's going on today with this last election? It was different back then. The issues were different. But still, there were some parallels. There's anger. There's political fragmentation, fear of anarchy, states' rights, state secession, corruption, cheating at the polls, citizenship, executive authority. It goes on and on. National debt, racial divide. I think everybody needs to read this book. I think this is of national significance, and a lot of historians agree with me.
So it took you 16 years of research.
And writing.
Yeah. And okay. Tell me some more about the research that you did on this.
Well, you know, you just dig. I went from, like, small libraries where he had, like in Casey County and Columbia and Adair County, where he had law practices, and I found files there. But really with secondary sources, primary sources, going to the Filson Society, the Kentucky Historical Society, in which I'm a member. Speaking of that, they thrilled me at the Kentucky Historical Society and surprised me by putting the sword that he was given, beautifully engraved for his role in capturing John Hunt Morgan. They surprised me by putting that in my hand. That was something.
So how much material did this end up being that you had to sift through it and you had to judge the validity of it?
I went through 8 rewrites, and I went through some university presses that helped me a great deal. I went through those 8 rewrites. They would send them to 3 anonymous professors, and then they would send those reviews back. I went through that 8 times. That's why it took so long. But each time I found something different. The letter I was telling you about, I found that on eBay that Lincoln wrote about Wolford. And I went, I could not believe it. And I was looking for something else.
That is amazing.
I was looking for something else. And this is an original letter that hasn't been brought to public. And it's really the missing link of how Lincoln handled the dissent. It's a short letter. But I found it for sale, and a foreign investor purchased it, but I got rights to publish it. So what Lincoln did the next day after that July 4th letter is so telling of how Lincoln was politically savvy.
Why do you think that Wolford has received so little attention with all the things that have been written about the Civil War and its history?
I think it had to take a relative who really was very curious and passionate about the story, and I knew it was bigger than just the glorious flying of the flags and splashing through the streams, and when I got into the political aspects, then I was really curious. I'm like, what? He was against black enlistments, but he's got one letter. It wasn't just black and white. He has one letter where he said that the Lincoln administration had violated each and every one of the Bill of Rights, and he lists how that happened, and that's in the appendix of this book.
So what eventually happens in this dispute? How does this end up?
Well,
and he gets arrested numerous times. I think he was even called in front of the president.
Oh, yeah.
For this, but what eventually happens?
That was an interesting meeting.
Yeah.
I don't want to give that away, because that's extremely important in this book, on them meeting face to face and how that went. But I will tell you that he walked away from that after some of the promises that Lincoln promised him a trial, and he wanted a trial. But when he went back to Kentucky to his man who loved him, he was their endeared father. They asked him, "What was he like?" Well, this kind of shows how lawyers can be. They can like them as a man but disagree with them wholeheartedly, and that's what he said. He's a nice man.
So tell me about his life after his military career.
Well, he became a general, an adjutant general, an extremely important position, because they had regulators that needed to be regulated, and there was a lot of violence in Kentucky at the time, and so he recruited a regiment to try and take care of that. Also was the issue of healing in America, and Kentucky took a big role in that. And one newspaper article said, regarding amnesty, Kentucky brought both North and South together, and Wolford led Kentucky. He gave an incredible speech on amnesty, that we need to get back together and bring in our lost Kentucky brothers. And so that spread through the South as far as amnesty. And so he went on to become a congressman and was head of the pension committee, which is also an important role, too.
And as a congressman, how did he view, considering his position during the war, how did he view the newly freed slaves when he was in Congress?
He eventually did work to get the rights for pensions for the freed slaves that enlisted and fought for the country. So he fought hard for that. So, you know, a whole nation was changing. This whole thing, you know, you had an agrarian society in the South and in the North, too. And both North and South, I think, prospered from slavery. But with the agrarian society, they had $3 billion worth of slaves. It was a lot of money. It was bigger than cotton, actually. And so it was kind of like their 401k, you know. And that's why they held so far onto the Western expansion of your free states and your North-South, and that tension build. Henry Clay died. I think that had a lot to do.
Great statesman from Kentucky. Yeah,
he, you know, the great compromiser. And speaking of that, Wolford had fought in the Mexican War, too. It's another reason why this is a whole century of history. And he helped save, at the Battle of Buena Vista, Henry Clay Jr.'s body off the field.
So, are there any memorials to your great-great-uncle?
There is. As recent as 2005, a lot of people in his hometown of Columbia, and he had a hometown in Liberty, too, because he had a practice there, too. Artist Tim Smith decided he wanted to take on this project. And so it's a beautiful monument, a picture that's in the book. Yeah.
Ron, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks so much.
Ron Wolford Blair, he's author of Wild Wolf, The Great Civil War Rivalry. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition. You can find archives of our programs at WVXU.org. Pete Reitmeier was the producer for today's show. Belinda Kai was the assistant producer. Dave Shermer was the technical director. William White composed the Cincinnati Edition theme music. I'm Mark Haney. Due to the recent heroin and opioid epidemic, there has been a dramatic rise in the number of babies who are born dependent on drugs and suffering from neonatal abstinence syndrome. On the next Cincinnati Edition, we'll discuss local programs to help pregnant women addicted to drugs and their drug-dependent newborns. And we'll also hear about the growing computer and game development industry in Greater Cincinnati. That's Cincinnati Edition, Thursday afternoon at 1 on 91.7 WVXU.